Stay at home. Don't leave the house. That's the message we've heard all week. But as restaurants and cafes change their menus to make everything available to take away, the pressure has ramped up on the food delivery industry. And as the fear of spreading coronavirus increases, so too do the demands on the gig economy delivery workers. Albert is a delivery rider for a popular food service in Melbourne. He says it's a scary time to be a delivery rider.
The company I work for have given me information, but it's more about if you will catch coronavirus, that they will pay you for 14 days if you're home, and you may be liable to get money from the government if you're a sole trader. But it doesn't really feel like that. I put a lot of measurements while you're out riding. I have to provide protection myself, like hand sanitizer. They're also giving people the option to tell me that they want the food delivered on the doorstep. However, there's not a lot of people using that, and that's nothing I really can control. I do feel scared, but you're trying to not think about it. I'm scared to catch it, the virus, from customers or from restaurant, and spread it to someone I care about.
Well, to talk more about the issue, I'm joined by Michael Caine, who's the National Secretary of the Transport Workers Union. Michael, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, hi, Patricia.
There is absolutely no doubt that food delivery is about to have its busiest period, possibly ever. Are delivery drivers being protected as the demand increases?
Well, no, they're not. I mean, that was a very powerful intro there from Albert. And I think what's clear here, Patricia, is that this shiny new economy that kind of came to us through delivery riders and rideshare, you know, around the middle of the decade, 2015 or so, it's really been exposed. I mean, riders and drivers have been saying this for a while now, that really it's unrealistic and unjustifiable to categorise them as if they're running their own business. And the consequences of that now are that these riders and drivers are being left very much to their own devices, not only because of that classification, but because these companies are petrified that if they become too proactive, that classification might change and the law might capture them and require them to put more protections in place for these workers as employees. So we're stuck in a very difficult situation where these workers are actually ready, willing and able to do the work. There is going to be plenty of work there. But those concerns that Albert's raised are the very concerns that are coming to us each and every day and in an avalanche as this crisis evolves.
You mentioned Albert, and you're right, it's a powerful story, who said his company will pay him for 14 days if he tests positive. Is that common?
No, it's not common. A couple of companies have done that. Getting access to that has proved a little bit difficult on some platforms. But look, I don't want to discourage any company from doing that. That's a good thing. But the real question here is what these workers face on a day-to-day basis. And ride share drivers, that is those that have to fund their own car, and those that are funding their own scooter or bicycle for these food deliveries, yeah, they have the cost of that bike. They have to also get a decent wage. And because they've been really unjustifiably classified as independent contractors, they have to bear all of the risk. So they bear the risk for their sick leave, for their annual leave, for their workers' compensation. And I think the Australian community understands by now that workers simply don't have the wherewithal to put away money for a rainy day or a coronavirus, and they're left in a very, very difficult situation. So we're in a position, Patricia, as we speak today, where we have riders who don't have appropriate equipment. We have companies who are scared to give it to them because they're scared to be caught in an employment relationship. We have riders who don't have paid sick leave or workers' compensation, who don't have annual leave, who are able to rely on during this virus. And of course, that means that they're more likely to stay on the road even when they get a snuffle or a sore throat or a dry cough. And that's something that's going to affect the entire community.
As more people are losing work in other industries, are you aware of people turning to deliveries for employment? And what are your concerns around this happening?
Well, of course, we are concerned about that. We think there's an opportunity there as well. There's certain length of time for onboarding onto the app, but we have seen a slight increase of that occurring already. Look, some of these riders are actually now incredibly experienced. As I said, they're ready, willing and able to do the work. Many of them like the work. They have good networks, but they really need and crave now for the governments across the country, the federal government and state governments, to step in and do what they've been asking for some time, Patricia, which is, in a sense, to put some standards in place to normalise this work form, which the community clearly wants. It's shown clearly that it demands this type of delivery service. And, of course, it needs it right now when we're in the middle of this virus. This can be a really functional, useful thing, part of our Australian economy, if we can get the mix right. But it's going to require governments to step up now to put some protections urgently in place for these drivers and riders.
Is that conversation happening?
Well, it is. There are some state governments that are starting to listen now. And I think it's fair to say, Patricia, that governments, I think you can see it in the faces of our politicians as they address us each day on the television, have been snapped out of complacency. And if ever there's a case for them to be snapped out of complacency, it's in the casual workforce and the gig economy, where these workers had been promoted as having flexible work in some shiny new economy, are now seen to be essentially a real soft underbelly in a service that is absolutely required by the economy. So we're hoping that they snap out of complacency, that they listen to these demands and act quickly for the riders, for the benefit of them and for the community.
Michael, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Patricia.
Michael Caine is the National Secretary of the Transport Workers Union. And I'd like to mention that RN Drive did reach out to Uber and Deliveroo for interviews, but neither company could offer a representative this evening. Uber did provide a statement outlining their contactless delivery options and app messaging service to keep delivery partners and the general public safe at this time.